Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hello, Bride. WATB.TV is proud to announce our very first show coming up November 7th at 7 p.m. It's called Toss, the Original State Show. It's a show about weight loss. It's bringing to the conversation to the table that the bride has an epidemic of being overweight. We are not ready for the harvest. We need to get our bodies under self-control and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring in the harvest. Amen. This show will have a panel of three women ministers, Dr. June Knight from We Are the Bride Ministries, Chaplain Yolanda Walker from Trifold Ministries, and Prophetess Teresa Nichols from Three Sheep Ministries. These panels will feature guest ministers to talk about the various topics of what we're facing as the bride, especially ministers. This show is geared towards ministry leaders and how we need to get in shape for the harvest. So this show will feature preaching, prayer, and professional interviews from doctors, personal trainers, and therapists about weight loss for the Bride of Christ. We need to get our temple in order because the King is coming. Get in shape for the harvest and get our bodies under self-control and discipline. Amen, Bride. Listen, we can do this. We can do this. So get ready, Army. The harvest is coming. Amen. Before time began, our omnipotent and powerful God wrote our destiny books. He wrote our story to reveal to mankind another aspect of His glory. In this book, He means for our bodies to be in its original state. The enemy's plan is to cause the bride to distort the temple and cause us to be less efficient in the kingdom. Talk, the original state show, challenges the bride to take our temples back, gain self-control, and be all that God wrote in your book. Give God the pen and live your original state. Hello, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. I'm so happy to be with you tonight here at the Christmas season. How many of you are just feeling the spirit of Christmas? It's such a wonderful time of the year. Bride, please check us out at WATBRadio.com. You know, we have interviewed over 250 ministers over the past 2 years. What an honor to hear the voices of God's people, to hear the stories of God's people, of what He did to make them from nothing into something. What an honor. Check us out on Twitter at WATB Radio and on Facebook at WATB Radio. Also, Bride, on WATB.TV, we did just kick off the Tall Show in November, but we're kicking off Bride Time Live. We're kicking that off in January. That is a revival-based show where we will feature ministers that are having revival all over the earth. We will hear from many different ministers at the same time. We're very excited about that, Bride. We're here in Mount Pleasant getting ready to start the WATB Center. We've already started having meetings here. God is calling the bride together in unity. Amen. So tonight we are so honored to host a married couple that wrote a book. They have such an amazing story. Give it up for Jeremy and Consuela Roach. Yay! How are y'all doing?
We're doing wonderful.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, I'm so honored to host you. Tell them the name of your book.
Yes, the name is Living Distinguished, Leaving Your Fingerprint on the World. Living Distinguished.
That is awesome. Now, I know a lot of us that listen that are ministers, in our mind, we've already got it rolling this sermon, you know, leaving your fingerprint. Tell us why you named it that.
Sure. Living Distinguished, when you recognize the life of Christ, and specifically the life that he desires to continue to live within his people, that is that life is never a normal life. It's never a life of being mediocre. It is a life of standing out, and it is a life of adventure. It is a life of glory.
Yes.
When Jesus lives inside of you, there's no way that you should be able to blend in with the crowd or be a closet Christian. You should stand out because of the one who lives inside of you.
And come on now, preach it, brother.
When you recognize who he is, it puts a demand on your life to be one of to live a distinguished life. And when you live your life before others, it's inevitable that you will leave your fingerprint on the world.
And also when you look at the body of Christ, it's just a clarion call in today's world for us to stand out and to be set apart and not to look like the people in the world, but we are to be set apart and be distinguished.
Yes.
And as we are seeking the heart of God, God begins to mark us, and he does set us apart for his glory. And so we're excited about the book. We're excited about the faith walk that he has allowed us to go on in this journey as we have read this book with him and by his leading.
Well, it's so funny you said that this is a clarion call, because I just wrote my fourth book called Clarion Call.
Yeah,
it just came out this year at Easter.
Clarion Call. Congratulations.
The Bride of Christ. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Y'all's first book, and it just come out, right?
Yeah, it's only been out for
a couple months. This is fresh off the press, right?
Absolutely, it's fresh off the press, and we're getting a lot of great reviews, and it's touching a lot of people.
Yay!
Amen.
Well, before I get into your life story, Jeremy, I just want you, since we're on the subject of the book, you know, I'm a book publisher, so when I talk to authors, I tell them there is, and all of you out there, you ministers that are considering writing a book, let me tell you something. Don't die pregnant. Do it. Write this book. Is it not the best feeling when you hold that book after all the things you go through to write it?
It is. It is. When you know, when you know that God, first of all, when you know that what you have done was not for naught, and that everything that you have lived and gone through, the pressure, because there's definitely some pressure, the pain, the birthing process, all of that was necessary for this thing, the very thing, the evidence that you hold in your hand to come forth.
Yes.
So that's exciting to know that, God, you would trust us to speak your word. You would trust us to write and publish your word. And it's very humbling. It's an humbling experience.
It really is. Amen. I have to say this, and then we'll get started on y'all's life story. I tell people when we talk about writing, it's like this. When God downloads a book into you, it's like he downloads a seed, and he wants that book to come out. That book came from heaven. It's already there.
Yeah.
So when we take that book, we cultivate it in prayer. We start working on it. We start speaking, God, what do you want us to say in this book? It really is like giving birth to a baby, because the whole time you're writing that book, you're being tested.
Yes.
Because the enemy wants to take you out. He does not want you to release that book in the earth. And I've known many authors, future authors, that never do it because the enemy takes them out. On the very thing they're writing about. Like if they're writing about purity, he'll come after their purity.
Mm-hmm.
If they're writing about financial blessing, he'll get their health, you know, all that stuff. So when it comes time for that book to be birthed, it really is like going through birthing pains. Am I right, Consuela?
You're right. You're right. But God desires for his word to be out here and now. So it's not just something for tomorrow, but it's now. There's a harvest that he's looking to receive right now. And as a result, we have to get that message of the gospel out there so that people can know who they can turn to in times of struggle, in times of trial, that they will know I don't have to run to things. I don't have to run to any items that nothing is going to cause me to be addicted to. I don't have to run to people or friends, but I can run to Jesus, and that's what's important. And you're right, it is that birthing process, but just like the word says, that even while you're experiencing pain, after that baby has come forth, though, you will not even remember the pain that you have gone through because of the joy.
The thing is once you give birth to the baby, that seed then multiplies. Because even people that buy your book, even if they share with others, that's your seed that is going out there mixed with God's seed. It's like really is like a baby. That's why, you know, we treasure our book so much. Okay, let's move on to your bio. Bride, I'm going to read you their bio. Jeremy is a devout follower of Jesus with a passion to see the gospel proclaimed all around the world. He is the husband to Consuela and a father to Landon, Jeremiah, Langston, Joshua. Committed to seeing God's kingdom become an everyday reality, he fulfills his call through teaching, prayer, training, and leading others. He serves alongside his wife as a leader in developing a community and house of prayer. His heart's desire is to see the nations come to know of the love of God, which is found in Christ, and to see the problems of this world bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Come on now.
Yes.
He desires to see the kingdoms of this world one day become the kingdom of our God.
Yes.
Revelation 11:15. Jeremiah's ministry unto the Lord can be modeled according to John 14:4-6. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with your glory. I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now, Consuela is a woman in pursuit of God and a passionate intercessor at heart. Her first ministry is being wife and helpmate to her husband, Jeremy, a loving mother to her sons, Landon, Jeremiah, and Langston, Joshua. Devoted to advancing the kingdom of God through teaching, speaking, and prophetic intercession, she serves alongside her husband as a leader in developing a community and house of prayer. Her heart's desire is to see God's people whole, healed, and delivered from every bondage. She wholeheartedly strives to see the body of Christ embrace God's house as the house of prayer. Consuela strives daily to model Jesus Christ in every way. Her ministry can be modeled according to Acts 20:24, Living Bible. Life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. That is the awesome bio.
That's a God story.
Yeah, whoever wrote that, props to them. That is awesome. Okay, Jeremy, take us. Now, how old are y'all? Y'all are young.
Yeah, we're young. We're like
y'all are like in your 20s, ain't you?
Oh no.
Well, we wish we were, but not that young. We're young at heart, and we're just growing together. I think the two babies are adding years each day. So we don't know how old we'll be tomorrow.
Well, Jeremy, tell us about your life. Who is Jeremy? Where did you come from?
Sure. I was born in Alabama, and so I grew up in Ohio. I was born in Florence, Alabama. I was a big fan of Roll Tide, but also the Buckeyes. So go Buckeyes.
Come on, Buckeyes. Go Buckeyes.
And I moved to Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. In 2007, I came down to Nashville for business, and to help a friend who was in need of help with his business. But there was another business that God had for me to do. Yeah. In fact, there was a season in 2008 where I was persistent in trying to pursue business, go to school for business, get connected to other people in business, and God spoke to me about ministry, and he said that that as you take care of my business, I would take care of yours. And at that point, my priority switched from starting a business to going into ministry, which is his business. And it was in 2008 also when I met Consuela. We're both members of Mount Zion Baptist Church under the leadership of Bishop Joseph Warren Walker III. And it was a Bible study at noontime. There was a gentleman preaching who wasn't bishop, but was another gentleman preaching. I came down, not to give my life to Christ, I was already saved, but to join the church. They brought me in the back, and the first person I met that they had to pray over those who joined was Consuela. Little did I know that she was right. So the first person who prayed over me at the church was her, and she's been the main one still praying over me, and we give God glory for that. This is crazy, though, Dr. June, is that around that time, her uncle called her and told her, hey, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, your husband is here. Your husband he's not from Tennessee. He described my build. He described my features. He said his name. I think he told her that my name started with a J. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He hasn't met you, though, right?
Never. I think he described me to her in the spring of 08. I did not meet him until the fall of 08.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah. And so when I met her, I was in a new season of reprioritizing my life and really being devoted to Christ. And what I thought was supposed to just be a good friendship to help steer me in the right direction ended up being my soulmate and the one whom God had ordained that I would be with. And so it's been 6.5 years, and and it's been a blessing.
It has. It's awesome. Well, tell us about you, girl.
Okay, well, let's see. I am from Nashville, Tennessee, but it's ironic that my husband and I both are only children, and we were married to we have stepmothers, stepfathers, and so we have other siblings. And so I am the only daughter, the baby daughter, and he is the only son, the baby son, to our stepfathers. And so when we came together, that was one thing that interested us, like, oh, this is very peculiar. We're going to be really good friends. So as I can say, in meeting him, Nashville, Tennessee, all my life, meeting him when he came, he told you the story about us meeting. I actually, my walk with God started a little bit earlier. I think it was when I first moved, transitioned into Mount Zion Baptist Church under Bishop Walker, and it was just such amazing. It was the encounter that I had with God that led me to purpose, and that I think helped to shape me, mold me, and is continuing to shape and mold me as I move forward in ministry. And my husband, just being the strong man that he is, the humble man, and the man who has a heart after God, really helps to keep me grounded in a lot of things. So I'm excited. I'm excited to have him walk alongside me. You could say we are overseers of several ministries, and we do a lot of things together. We teach together. Of course, we pray together, and we oversee ministries together. And it's just been a joy to have someone, not just a stranger, someone that you have called just the body of Christ, but this is my friend and this is my husband. And so it's just a joy to be able to laugh, to cry, to pray together and to declare God's
amen
over our ministry. And it's just been a wonderful experience, and I give God glory for everything that he's given us up until this point and what he's going to continue to do.
Well, tell us about your ministries. What are y'all doing now besides your book that you just wrote?
Sure. So we're both ordained as elders at Mount Zion Baptist Church, and when I met Consuela, she was just actually getting licensed into ministry,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually amazing because I had no concept of ministry when I met her, and God actually used her to disciple me and train me and build me up in into ministry, which is an amazing testimony, one that I'm never ashamed of. But
we've
come together in ministry. In 2010, we became, our pastor, Bishop Walker, placed us as the overseers of the prayer ministry at Mount Zion.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my wife was, we're under Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship, where Bishop Walker is now the presiding bishop. But before he became presiding bishop, Consuela was already the state bishop of intercessory prayer for Full Gospel, state director. She's now the central regional director of prayer, overseeing intercessory prayer for Tennessee, Kentucky, and some other states that's slipping my mind right now. And
really trust her in prayer to give her that position.
Think about this, Dr. June, that her place of prayer started off in her closet, and that's where she met the Father, as Jesus would tell us to do.
Right.
She was faithful when nobody was watching. He now trusts her to pray for other people when everyone's watching. And the good thing is, public stages have never swayed her from her personal prayer closet. So I learned so much actually watching her interact with God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we teach together. We've been hosting a series of classes. The classes are called Discovering the Kingdom, based off of our book, Living Distinguished. For the past couple of years, we've been teaching in Mount Zion's ministry and training program.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond classrooms, we just love interacting with people on a personal level and helping to disciple lives.
Go ahead, sister.
I think one of the things that amazes me about God is how he connects you with people with, like, purpose. And
isn't that amazing?
It is. It really is.
I love that about him.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that, you know, because the Bible talks about we are one body with many members, and so we need every part of the body to function, wholly and complete. But when I look at my husband and I see the gift of teaching, preaching on his life, it's, I just want to sit down and take as many notes as I can and you want to hear him, but just how God uses him, how the Holy Spirit helps to simplify the Word of God. And I think that's for even those who may be listening or who need to say, you know, my spouse or my significant other, I would really love for them to have a relationship, an authentic relationship with Jesus. It does begin with that individual. So if you begin to pray and intercede for them, God will begin to move and answer the prayers. And the Bible talks about how that even before we call him, he's already moving and answering. And he doesn't want anybody to be lost. And so I praise God just for the fruit that's going to come as a result of this conversation of people who have been interceding and praying for their spouses, that even before the year is out, that God will begin to manifest and he will begin to move on those things that he has already spoken at the beginning, that he can be a God that can be trusted, and he is not a God that he should lie, but when he speaks something, it still comes to pass. We just have We just wait on it and trust his word. He's going to bring his word to pass.
Well, I need to ask you something, sister. I'm going to pull off of your prayer anointing for me, if you don't mind.
Oh, it's okay.
On our broadcast, now we've done this, you know, for 2 years, and we've always just felt led to pray for people. All the ministers that we bring on the broadcast to pray for their vision, that they would have provision, everything they need, you know, type of deal. I tell the bride, I'm like, bride, when we pray for these ministers, when we all bow our heads, come in unity, stop time for a minute, and pray for somebody else's vision, God is going to turn around and bless our vision. I believe it's like a a sowing and reaping principle. What do you say? What kind of wisdom do you have on that?
I honestly believe that it is. God, you know, even with Jesus, he said, the Bible talks about him being the mediator. He stood in the gap for on behalf of us. And so he stood between what was trying to take us out, which is the enemy, and what God was using to reconcile us back to him. He was the substitute. And so when you look at that word intercession, and it means mediator, it means one who is striking the mark. And when you look at that word, you see that there are people whom he is calling to stand in the gap for people, regardless to where they are in their lifestyle, regardless to what they have done, but to begin to cry out to the Father. And as you are crying out, you are in the middle. God, that blessing is going to hit you first before it even releases to somebody else. And so I wholeheartedly believe that as you are interceding on behalf of someone else, God is blessing you in your house, whatever it is that you are.
I believe that.
Sometimes I think that when we receive crisis or things that happen to us, just this week, it's been three times I've been to the hospital with my father. And every time I step in the ER room, I'm like, God, there is somebody here that you want to pray for. You want to bless them. You want to heal them. I recognize that as I'm praying for him, for them, God is already moving on behalf of my father, and he's already answering my prayer. So I think when we have things to come up against us, when we begin to pray and ask God, okay, it's a financial situation, it's a healing, it's whatever it is that I may be standing in need of, as I intercede and I pray on behalf of that thing for someone else, I can trust and believe that that blessing is going to come right back to me as a result. I cannot.
Wow, that is amazing.
I cannot be walking in doubt. I cannot walk in fear, but I have to know that the very thing that I prayed, I believe by faith that thing is coming back. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that he who comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek after him.
Yeah.
So he is a rewarder. If you're seeking him, he is a rewarder, and he is a rewarder not just for those who seek, but you have to believe that he is first. And he is a
Yeah, and it's not just the prayer, sowing and reaping, but financially too. Like, you know, the Lord, he'll pay you. You know, I want you to give, well, in Bible college, he told me, I want you to give your inheritance ring to Mama Parsley, which is Rob Parsley's mother. And I was like, what the world? That's the devil, you know. Ain't nobody God would tell me to give up my inheritance ring. But the point is he made me give away, you know, and what he rewarded me with, oh, my gosh, it was so above, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars.
I think we have to have spiritual antennas. And that, yeah. And that means that we have, everywhere we go, our spiritual antennas are up to where we're saying, God, what are you saying? What is it that you want to do? Because he wants us to be a replica of himself. He wants to use us to exemplify himself in the earth. If this is
exactly
wherever I am, I need to make sure that his hands, his feet, his smile, his gifts, everything is coming forth so that somebody else will be able to look at what's going on in our lives, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So our spiritual antennas have to be up. God, what are you saying in this moment? Wherever I go, on my job, in my home, what are you saying? What are you wanting to do? Constantly communing with him. I may not always get on my knees, but I have a constant union. I have a oneness with him to where I'm communing with him daily.
Well, I have heard ministers say, if you need something, go give it away. Go with the very thing the enemy's attacking you at, you go out and do it. If you need a healing, go pray for somebody who needs a healing. Go love. If you need love, go give love. Is that, you see what I'm saying?
I do. And the Bible tells us that when we give, it'll be given back. I think the expectation is that we're doing it not that we can have an expectation, but we're doing it because we love him and because he wants to show himself and reveal himself as the God who loves.
True. And there's one other thing I'd like to ask you about prayer. I'm sorry we're leaving you out here, Jeremy. On the prayer. We know our battle is not with flesh and blood.
Yes,
so when God calls us to a city and we pray over the spiritual warfare that's going on over that city. First of all, when God places us there, he gives us dominion when he places us there, right? So when you pray, what would you say to these ministers about how to pray whenever God moves them to a city or when they're placed somewhere or even when they're going somewhere to minister?
I think you mentioned city. I would say any atmosphere, any place that they are going in that is unfamiliar, that we will begin to ask God, God, what's my assignment? What's my assignment? And that he would show us what he is doing. Even with the servant, Elijah and I believe the servant, there was things that were going on around, and the servant did not understand, but he began to come to Elijah and say, you know, it's too many of them that's around. It's too many of them that's coming up against us. But Elijah, he got in the birthing position, and he began to pray. And he then, after he began to pray, he told that servant, he said, you go back. He asked the Lord, go back and open his eyes and let him see what I see. And the very thing that he was able to see was the angels of the Lord that were all encamped all around him. So what appeared to be many in his natural eye, in the spiritual eye, much more. So when we go to different places, we need to begin to ask and seek God. God, first of all, what's my assignment here? And then second of all, let me see what you are revealing in this moment. It may be that he's revealing the opposition. It may be that he's not revealing the opposition, and he's revealing what's coming up against somebody that he wants to reveal himself to. And so we have to be discerning to be able to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this moment? Oftentimes we go to different places and we want to just cast out demons, and we sometimes become so demonic. focused that we never get to Jesus. We never release Jesus anywhere. It's just them demons here, demons under this bush, demons over here. And we recognize the enemy's place is under us, under our feet. We recognize the authority and the dominion that we have gone. And we have.
Come on now.
So when we step into those areas, we step, first of all, knowing I am a son of the living God. I am not a stranger. I'm not somebody that's out here just trying to operate. I am in relationship with Jesus. And now that I'm in relationship with Jesus, I come not by myself, but I come under the authority of the one who has sent me. And now I do as he instructs. Jesus said, I never do anything that he hasn't told me to do. So when he tells me to move, then I move. When he tells me to say, then I say. When you do that, Dr. June, you don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to scream. You ain't got to come out in the name of the. You ain't got to do all of those things. You can speak one little simple word because you recognize the authority that's over your life. So when you stand and you declare what God has said, even if it's under your breath, the enemy knows this is someone that's coming in authority. This is someone that I cannot try and compromise, or I cannot try and come against and think that they won't do anything, because they know the word. They know who God is. They know what God is doing in their life, and they know what God is doing in the earth. When we do that and we are so sensitive to the move of God, those spirits will submit to the authority of Jesus on the inside of you. And you don't have to do it. Because he has given us the authority to cast down serpents and scorpions and all of those other things.
Come on now, amen.
He has given us the authority over them.
Yes, he has. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. Now, Jeremy, when we come back, I want you to answer a question before you preach, okay?
Sure.
When we come back, I want you to think about this. If you have 5 minutes to talk to the bride in America, just the specific American bride, with all the things that are going on in the national scene right now, all the chaos and everything, what would you say to them? Encouragement, rebuke, or what? Okay, we'll be right back. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing?
Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is sold. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
All right, Bribe, we're back with you tonight. We're with Jeremy and Consuela Roach right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Come on, Jeremy, what would you say to the bride in America right now?
Sure, Dr. June. First off, that's a great question. And that was a question I actually brought to God during this time of election. And as my wife had mentioned, the spiritual antennas have to be up. And there were two specific things that I felt like God had gave us a couple weeks ago, and he's still speaking now. One comes from Revelation 4:1, where the Apostle John said that he heard a voice telling him, come up so that I may show you what must take place. He says, come up so I may show you what must take place. And God was calling John to come up so he can see what was going to happen. And the thing that I felt like God was saying was that this time has been frustrating for much of the body of Christ, and there's been a lot of confusion and chaos, but this was a time for us to actually come up to a higher place in him, and
not see
everything from the perspective in which we have been seeing it based on our customs, our traditions, our rituals, whether we are a church who's pro-Democrat or pro-Republican. When he says to come up, he's saying to come up to a higher mentality, a kingdom mentality, one that is not, that does not have biases. Dr. June, I truly believe that this is a clarion call where God is asking those who truly belong to him, his bride, to come up, to be willing to relinquish your biases and the things that you have held dear and near to your heart so that you may be able to see things from an unbiased kingdom perspective. In fact, I almost would believe those who were shocked by what took place were those who weren't at a place to see what was going to happen. There was many words that was actually spoken, prayed, and prophesied of what was going to take place. When we went to bed that night, we wasn't shocked nor disturbed, and it wasn't because we're great or prophetic or this, that, and the third. It's because it lined up with what we saw. And in the Bible, he says, I do nothing without first revealing it to my prophets. And so this is the time, the season, that he's saying, okay, get your emotions and your feelings together. This is the time where he's calling us from being a pro this or a pro that to being strictly kingdom. Kingdom, to where we see things from the kingdom lenses and the kingdom perspective. That is his bride. Absolutely. And so I truly believe there's a call to come up.
That's a good word.
There is a call to come up. Check this out, Dr. June. The call to come up is not saying that we're taking a back seat. This is not a time to shrink back. This is a time to step up and move forward into the position that he has ordained for us This is not the season for us to relinquish our authority and responsibility because of what the world is going on, and we have to be careful to receive these doom and gloom prophetic words over the church. This is the brightest. This is to be the brightest hour. As darkness gets darker, light gets lighter. If we are the light, this is our season.
Yeah, amen. Best time of our life right now. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we just can't look to the right or the left. We have to look to him, and we should be shining when it gets darker. Amen.
Absolutely.
Okay, brother, I'm going to release you to preach that word. You've got the floor, and I'm going to put my phone on you. Go ahead.
Excellent. Well, we thank you for this opportunity. And I want to bring just a few words of encouragement to the body of Christ and the bride. And scripture that I want to come from is actually found in Hebrews chapter 12. It's verses 26 through 28. I'm reading the New King James Version. That's Hebrews 12, 26 through 28. And it simply says, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And just for the few moments I have, I do want to encourage God's people in this very hour with the thought and the concept of embracing God's shaking, embracing the shaking. And Dr. June, I'm well aware of the people, the body of Christ and his leaders that are listening to your broadcast in America and around the world. And I know that there are some of us that are in this season, we have more questions than we have answers. We're scratching
our heads,
figuring things out. It is not quite sure what's going on. The things that we saw is not quite taking place as we saw it. Things, the words that God gave us has not yet come to fruition as we believe they would. And it just seems like things are getting worse. There's even a few of us, Dr. June, that even in our best attempts to follow the Lord, we're getting weary and well-doing. And the more that we pray, it seems like things are getting more rough. And I just want to bring encouragement, and I believe it's an announcement that God has been making, and it's about his kingdom. And I believe that over the past few years, there has been a shaking that has been taking place, and this has been within the lives of his people, his remnant, those who have remained steadfast and immovable in him, those who have been truly following him, those who have been faithful in his vineyard. He has allowed some shaking to take place. This shaking is not just within the church of God and the body of Christ. It is also in the world. And even as I was thinking about this earlier today, the image of the snow globe came to mind. You know, in the holiday seasons, you go into a store and you'll find snow globes. And the whole thing is that someone picks the snow globe up and they shake it. And then you get to see the full functioning of that snow globe. I believe God's hand has been on this world. He's been on God's hand has been on our lives, and he has been allowing some shaking to take place. He says, "Once more will I shake heaven, and I'm going to shake earth." And if we want to be a people who embrace this shaking, the things that God is allowing, Dr. June, there's a couple of things we need to be mindful of. The first thing is that the things that are he's shaking the things that are not of him, the things that have been of man, the systems that have been of man. The scripture says in verse 27, "Once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made." Not only is all of creation shaken, I mean, we look over in East Tennessee right now, and there's fires going on.
I know.
There's tremblings and there's terrorist attacks all around the world, and obviously God is not behind that, and that is the enemy. God is not the author of confusion, but there's so many things that are taking place. Even Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "These things must take place, but these things are not the end." because the end will come when the message of the kingdom has been preached. This shaking is to point our attention to the kingdom, but everything that has been made of man, every relationship that has been not of him, everything that we've been depending on, everything that has served as a substitute for him, whether it is using our education as a substitute, whether it's using our reputation or fame or notoriety, connections or people that we know, all those things we've been using to get through life, he is allowing those things to be shaken. And those things are shaking so that we no longer depend on them, but that our focus is solely on him. As you think about this, it was just 20 years.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It was just 20 years ago that we would have been able to get a job without Jesus. You didn't have to speak in tongues to get a job. Nowadays, you got to get saved just to get a job. And,
right.
And the thing is that he's even shaking our economy. We're putting somebody in place hoping they're going to be an answer to a broken economy. God's not coming to fix our economy. He's coming to replace it with his. And his is an economy called the kingdom that has no lack. And Jesus said if we seek first that kingdom, then all our needs are added unto us. This shaking, people of God, is designed to remove everything. The reason why many people are going through a financial shaking is because money has become our source and not just a resource. Money is something that we've been using in place of him. In fact, if we have enough offerings in our church, we don't need the Holy Ghost. Let's be honest. And now he's allowing a shaking even in finances just to say those things. It's never bad to have money or degrees, fame, or notoriety. It's just bad when those things have you. And the thing is, if Jesus is our Lord,
that's right.
And he's saying those things have to be put in their proper place if you want to be part of this kingdom. Also, when we come to embrace this shaking, Dr. June, the scripture also says how the things which cannot be shaken, they're going to remain. Meaning everything that was in your life that was legitimately Jesus, that was the Lord, those relationships, those foundations, those principles, those are the things that's going to remain. While we're going through a pressing and a pruning in this season, the things that's going to remain when the smoke clears are those things that have been of him, the teachings that were instilled in us when we were young, or the revelation that we're receiving now. He says that that is the kingdom that's not going to be shaken. There's going to be things in our lives that, you know, it was Joseph who had a dream, and then the next thing it said is that he was tested. And it's, that word had to be tested according to Psalms. And many of us are just going through a testing, a pruning, and a shaking. One thing that we do have to be mindful of when it comes to this shaking in this season, Dr. June, is that the things that that are of God that's being shaken, many times we want to attribute to Satan. And sometimes we have a black and white theology, which is simply the things that feel good are God and the things that don't are of the devil. Well, it doesn't always work that way. It is God who does the pruning because we're fruitful, according to John 15. And think about this. There's some things that's been going on that you can't bind, you can't plead the blood over, and you can't rebuke because they are legitimately him.
You are preaching it, brother. I'm trying so hard not to interrupt you. But I'm going back on mute. I'm like, bam, this guy is right on it.
It's amazing because God is speaking, but there's so many questions that we have, and this is what I would say. I don't know the timing of it, but I believe it was in the past 10 years, the past decade or so. I think heaven brought an interruption into earth, and I believe that we shifted from church as usual into kingdom. And how you know it is at that time, that's when words began to come up. People began to give dynamic new revelation of the kingdom that had never been taught before. People such as a Miles Monroe, God would raise up and to proclaim the kingdom. Anyone who knows anything about the kingdom and the king, who is Jesus, knows the king does nothing without making an announcement. And he uses his people to make his announcement. And that this announcement has been going forth. And so what we're seeing now is just the kingdom invading this world. And Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is invading earth. It doesn't always feel good. There's some stretching, but with that stretching and affliction comes glory. And the last thing I would say, Dr. June, is that the Hebrew writer says, God says, once more, I'm going to shake the heaven and earth. And all the things that can be shaken will. And those things that cannot be shaken, they're going to remain. But here's the promise. But you will receive an unshakable kingdom. When this shaking is done, when the earthquakes have ceased, when the warfare has stopped and the smoke clears, what you're going to see is a bride that cannot be shaken. You're going to see a bride who is in perfect proportion to its husband, who is Jesus. You're going to see a bride who is standing on Mount Zion, shining bright in her glory. You're going to see the body of Christ with more solutions than problems. And there's a kingdom that's inside of Jesus said that the kingdom is in you. He said the kingdom is in you. And this shaking is designed to produce a kingdom that not even Satan can stand against. No government will have an answer for. You will be literally the billboard of heaven going before man, and you will be the representation of God here on earth, just as Jesus was. So, guys, here's the thing. When you said yes to Jesus, and I don't know when you said yes, but when you said yes, you essentially signed your name on the line to be shaken. And every great person of God in the Bible had to go through a season of shaking. Ask David, ask Moses, ask Peter. And the Bible said that these light afflictions, they are only but for a moment, but it talks about the glory that's going to be revealed. I want to encourage you, this season of shaking is only for a moment. The afflictions may be light, but this shaking is going to produce something that you could not do in your own strength. And I just thank God for his body to embrace his shaking. That's God's word for today.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Brother, do you know how many ministers have come on this broadcast and talked about the process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is taking us through the process because he is cleaning our hearts. He is preparing us for what's coming. You're just following right along with what God is saying to the bride right now. Trust God in the sifting, shaking, purging, burning.
The Bible says, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials. These things are going to come. You know, once again, Jesus said, you know, it's going to be nation against nation. It's going to be shaking, and it's going to be wars going on. But verse 14 in Matthew 24, he said, but the end will not come until the message of the kingdom has been preached to all nations. And I end on this. Miles Monroe said it this way. The end is not going to come with events. The end is going to come with a message. This
everything that is powerful.
Everything we've been judging the end times based on events. And Jesus said, hey, those things have to happen, but they're not the end. Don't judge the end based on the things you see. The end is going to come with my message. And when my message comes, that's how you know I'm coming back.
Wow.
Matthew 24:14, yeah.
That is a profound word, brother.
That's good.
Woo! That is a meaty word for us tonight, bride. Well, brother, I want us to pray for you, unless y'all still have something. Do you have anything, Consuela?
Actually, I do, and it's just this one scripture that keeps coming in my spirit, and I wanted to read it. Jeremiah 31:25.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint.
Aww.
I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. And most of the time when my husband was speaking, I just think about all of the people who are going through stuff, going through issues and trials, and they're questioning their faith right now. They're questioning whether or not, you know, I don't know if I believe, or I don't know if I still have hope. I don't know if I can hold on any longer. And I believe this is the word of the Lord for them, that he's going to refresh the weary, and he's going to satisfy the saints. That anything that they're going through, he's going to bring the hope back to those who feel hopeless. He's going to bring strength back to those who feel weak. It's in those weak moments when he wants to be made strong, and his grace is felt even more. And so I believe that on tonight, whenever this will be played, that God's word for his people is that he's crushing Satan under his feet, and that he's going to refresh the weary, and he's going to satisfy the faint.
Whoo, that's a good word, sister. Y'all are on fire tonight. I really appreciate y'all coming on here tonight. Listen, we're going to end this broadcast tonight with prayer. And, Bride, I'm going to ask you to partner with me to pray for them, pray for their family, pray for their vision. And then we're going to ask that y'all pray for our ministry and the bride, if you don't mind, please.
Sure.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for the time together tonight that we've had with Jeremy and Consuelo, Lord. And you know everything that they have been through in their life, Lord. And you know the great destiny that you have ahead for them and their children, Lord. So we just place them at the foot of the cross today, Lord. We ask you to cover them in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask that they would be able to fulfill everything that you have mandated before time began for them to fulfill. I thank you, God, that they are in unity in their marriage, that they're in unity in their family, that they are one in the Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for the mountains they're going to be able to just destroy with that unity, God. We thank you so much for it, Lord. So we pray, Lord, increase in every area in their life, Lord. Increase in their finances, increase in the prophetic downloads, increase in the understanding in the Spirit. Increase in prophetic gifts, being able to help others, opening doors that no man can shut, expanding their borders, Lord. And God, we ask that you send them financial provision, Lord. Send people that will partner with them to help them to do what you've called them to do. People that will be intercessors with them and help them to pray in the vision, Lord, what you have called them to do. Thank you, Lord, they're servants. Under Bishop Walker, Lord. Thank you that they are serving him. They're helping him, Lord. And while they're helping him, they're marching towards what you have called them to do, Lord. So I pray favor with him, favor with the ministry, Lord, and favor with other ministers, Lord, and favor everywhere they go. Yeah. And, Lord, over their children, I pray health and healing over their children, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord. I thank you for the love that they're experiencing in this family, Lord. I thank you for the destiny that is on their life, Lord, and the great things that they are going to do. Yes. So we just lay them at the foot of the cross tonight, Lord, thanking you for their family and their vision and everything you're going to do in their life in Jesus' name. Okay, if y'all would pray for us, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Dr. Jonah. We thank you for the bride. We thank you for this broadcast and this ministry that you have raised up for a time such as this, Father. I thank you that you will continue to show yourself strong, mighty, and faithful in the midst of their work and effort. I thank you, Father, that you would establish the work of Dr. June and the bride's hands and everything that they do for your kingdom. Let it be to glorify you, Father. We pray. As Paul said, that you would take them from glory to glory. So we thank you that this next season would even exceed and be greater than the previous seasons. We thank you, Father, just for out-of-the-box ideas, innovative thoughts. We thank you for a new
come on now, amen.
Efficiency, Father. We thank you for divine connections, even for the leaders and ministers and ministries that's listening. We thank you, Father, even for those ministers and ministries who didn't think they would be able to listen tonight, but they got on and they were able to get their word of refreshing, Father. We thank you
Lord,
the ministry who come to the realization that you have not forsaken them, that they are not disqualified, Father. I thank you that you have qualified them for a good work and that this is a work that you would do. Paul said that it's in them to act into will according to good purpose. I thank you, God, for the resources that they stand in need of, whether it be finances, whether it is connections. I thank you for crossing T's and dotting I's. We thank you for divine timing and that you are not letting right miss what you are doing. We thank you, Father, that as they come out of every season or circumstance, they will be better than before, they will be closer to you than before, and that their lives and ministry will truly glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
So, Father, we just thank you right now for your word that says that we will run with patience, Lord God. That the way that has been set before us, God, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, endured it for the cross, God. I thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, for the bride, God. I thank you for the endurance, God. I thank you for the perseverance, God, recognizing, God, that what they have been experiencing, Father, have only been just a light affliction, God, but you are doing such greater work on the inside of them. And so I just bless you right now, God, for the tears that are flowing down, God. I thank you, Father, that you hear the cry of the righteous, God, and that you are attending into their prayers, God. I thank you for meeting every one of their needs, God, even on this line, God, on tonight, God, that even before we open up our mouths, God, you are answering and meeting their hearts and their desires, God. And so I give you the glory right now, God. I thank you right now for the Nicodemuses, God, those who are coming to you at night, God, those who are private, God, those who don't have a true relationship, God, but want and desiring, God, to go deeper in you, Father. God, I thank you, Father, for the authentic relationships, God. I even pray, Father, for those, God, who are blind, God, and who need to see the truth, God, who need to understand, God, that you are the author, you are the finisher of their faith, God, you are the rock, God, you are the stability, God.
Yes, Lord.
They can hold on to, God. I praise you right now, God, for the one, God, who is sitting at the pool, God, of Bethesda, God, the one, God, who was waiting for the troubled water, Lord, God, so that they can jump in. God, I thank you right now, God, that this is the hour. This is the hour, God, where they will run to you. This is the hour, God, where they will say, God, who are you willing to make me whole? And you are declaring, God, that you are willing to make them whole, God. And so I just bless you, Father, for their lives, God. I thank you, Father, for the whole man, God, the whole woman, God, the whole children, Father, God. And anything, God, that is coming up against them, God, we're declaring your word that you have crushed the enemy, God, that you have made an open spectacle of him in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you right now, God, just for their eyes being fixed on you and the cross and what you have finished for them, God. Lord, I bless you right now, God, for their yes, God, even in this season, God, that they will go further, God, that they will make a new commitment, God, to want to be with you even the more, Father. And I pray right now, God, for those, God, whose desire, Lord God, is still towards the world, God, that you will break the yoke, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will break every stronghold and any patterns of wickedness,
yes,
God, that you will break it,
yes,
in the name,
Lord,
of Jesus. Everything that's trying to call them, God, back to the world, Father, I thank you that you are shutting the doors in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you for your power, God, to flip the plan, God, where the enemy was trying to come against them now, God, and you are turning it around, God, for their good, where they are coming and running to you, God. Father, I thank you for the prophets, God. Lord, I thank you right now for the evangelists, God. I thank you right now, God, for the Phillips, God, that you are raising up, God, even in this hour, God. And I thank you, Father, for those, God, who will teach them. God, for those, Father, whom you have called to pastor flocks, God. I thank you for the anointing of the Lord, God, that rest upon them, God, that in this hour, God, that we will continue to go before you, Father, and we will spend time, we will make time, we will carve out that time, God. And I thank you for the revelation of your word, that you will illuminate it in the name of Jesus, God, that it will be so simple, God, that even a child will understand, God, what it is that you are saying, God. Father, I thank you for the freshness,
Lord,
of your word, God, and for the freshness even of this season, God, that even in this moment, God, we can declare that we have the victory because you have given it unto us. And so we hold our hands up, God, and we're declaring, God, that we have the victory, God, over every issue, God. Victory is already ours, and it belongs to you, Jesus. And we're declaring it over this station. We're declaring it, God, over the bride. We're declaring it over Dr. June, God, and everything, God, that is in need. We're declaring, God, that the victory, God, is already ours. And we believe your report, God, and no other report. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we decree it and we declare it to be so. Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all so much for praying. I pray y'all have a wonderful evening. God bless you.
God bless you. You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.